Welcome to the Purdue Podcast Live, where you might get half of our conversation before we realize that we're on air, but you know.
It's true. We're having a good time today. It's great to see you all. If you're joining us live right now, be sure to leave a comment. Let us know where you're joining from. And if you have any questions or just something you want to mention there in the comments, we actually see them live in real time.
Yeah.
If you watch this after the fact, you're welcome to say something after the fact. We try to check those comments and reply to people.
I just learned something new last week, that the chat that we see during the live streams disappears after the live stream's over. Correct, Kevin? But you can go back if your comment was deleted. You can go back and re-ask a question and leave it there, and we will be sure to answer it in the comments or however we need to get a hold of you.
Yeah, and something special is happening in about 2 weeks. We actually are going to have some guests, so there's going to be four of us live on the Purdue Podcast here in 2 weeks. And we might be doing it on Tuesday, 2 weeks from now, mid-April. But the Kreiners, Marcus and Meredith Kreiner, will be here for a few days here at the church, ministering to the church. Marcus actually served as a worship pastor in Florida for about 20 years at one church. And
Which really impressed you, didn't it?
Yeah, very much impressed me, too. Because faithfulness is kind of a rare commodity.
Mm-hmm. And we met them through Mark Hankin's Supernatural Relationships conference that we just happened to go to, like, spur of the moment. I think Pastor Lawson couldn't go, so he asked us.
But they're very cool people. Our church actually helped them. They launched out their own ministry, and our church actually helped them in a big way, come with the finances for an RV home. They have two sons, and they travel a lot, so they travel as a family. They're kind of based out of Tulsa, but travel a lot on the road. They're going to bring their RV here. Mm-hmm. When they come, they're going to be ministering in New Mexico right before. But Marcus, you know, just a really awesome minister of the word, filled with the word. He's going to do a workshop for all of our worship teams and the teams that support worship here at the church, which just keeps going up and up. So I really like having people come and impart something into them. Yeah. And the last time he came, he was a very, very prophetic person, very just huge heart for God.
Yeah, and it was so funny because I wasn't there because I'm not part of the worship team, and I was watching our children, so Aaron could be there. But he came home and you told me a couple of different prophetic words, and I'm not going to say who they were to or about or whatever. And we were just like, what? And lo and behold, we saw them come to pass, didn't we? It was amazing. So anyway, you don't want to miss.
And he'll be preaching. So they'll be on our podcast. Yeah, live podcast with them. And then he'll be preaching Wednesday night to the whole church here in a few weeks. And Meredith is a really neat person, too. His wife, they do ministry together. But she actually is fluent in American Sign Language. She translates at a lot of big ministry events. She translates at the Southwest Believers Convention sign. And but Marcus has been staying busy. He recently went to Singapore with John Wilds, doing a worship all across, I think, Southeast Asia. So
it was awesome.
So it's going to be a really cool podcast with them.
We're super excited about it.
And I'm excited about today's topic.
Me too. First of all, we're here for you guys. Hello, Lynn. Hi, Chrissy. Hi, Millers. How are you guys doing? We're here for you guys. We're doing this podcast because we want to connect with our online community, whether you're local or, you know, abroad. That's the reason why we're doing this. So make sure as you are studying along with us that you leave comments, you let us know if you have any questions, prayer requests, whatever it is, and we're going to keep up with them, right?
Yeah.
The notes are in the comments, Kevin says. So you can, in the description, so you can follow along with us if you want to. But yes, we are very excited about today.
Yeah.
I woke up at 5:30 this morning, and I just felt like the Lord wanted me to sit down with him instead of doing my normal routine. It's very important to be just led by the Lord, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, don't get so stuck in your routine that you forget to listen to what God has to say to you. And that kind of, like, falls into what we're going to be sharing about today. And I know this topic hits home for both Pastor Aaron and I, but it's called, You Might Be Waiting on the Wrong Sign from God. So the main thought of this is at some point in your life, you will have to make a choice to believe without seeing, and it won't be the last time. It will be the first of many. People say be led by peace. Oh, mm-hmm. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I don't feel peace. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything to say about that? I feel like that's a topic that we talk about.
Yeah, that's one of those kind of Christianese idioms that sometimes people don't quite understand. Yeah. And they'll just use that as an excuse to not
kind of
step
like a
out and yeah, maybe take on some more responsibility or mm-hmm. help where help is needed. Peace is much deeper than an emotion.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, oh, I'm just being led by peace or led by, but really they're kind of being led by their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell if you're being emotionally led or being spirit led.
Yeah.
That there is a big difference. And peace isn't an emotion.
That's right.
It's from the realm of the spirit. And God often calls you to do things that are outside of your comfort zone, outside of what you might feel to be safe emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just be led by your emotions. Your emotions, they're important. God gave you them. God has emotions. Jesus had emotions, but you can't be emotionally led.
Yeah.
You have to be spirit led mm-hmm. as a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just always do what feels right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what sometimes people are actually saying, like, well, I don't have peace about it. They might just say it just...
It's uncomfortable to
it's
me.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I'm looking at our chat section, and I know Chrissy and I have had this conversation. I don't know that Lynn and I have had this direct conversation, but I know I can see it in her life too. We, all three of us girls, have had to step into a calling that maybe we didn't feel equipped to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like Linda's our children, she's our children's pastor, and Chrissy is Pastor Lawson's assistant. She's also the leader of tons of volunteers here. And she puts on events. I mean, she does wears multiple hats. And I know that all three of us have had to step into those roles. And I'm a pastor, not children's pastor, women's pastor, youth pastor. And I knew that God wanted me to do those things, but it didn't really feel like mm-hmm. I wasn't led by peace. I was just being led by God, you know. And peace is a byproduct of our relationship with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fruit of the Spirit. Right?
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, God often calls you to do things that are beyond your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people associate peace with comfort, but that they're not the same thing.
Yeah.
Peace is a very different thing than comfort.
That's right. You can have peace in the middle of chaos.
And to be led by God's peace actually passes understanding. It yeah. passes your rational thinking. It passes your natural emotions. It goes
yeah.
way beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes people, and again, it's kind of a Christianese kind of thing, kind of a charismatic Christianese kind of thing. Well, I don't have peace about that.
That's right.
And sometimes I want to tell people like...
Just be obedient.
Yeah. And step out a little bit.
Yeah, just be obedient. And that's kind of the premise of this whole message is that to be obedient doesn't mean that you're going to feel comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times peace is peace is promised from a relationship with the Father, and not every decision will feel peaceful in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes peace doesn't come until after you obey.
Yeah.
And that's really like the meat of this podcast today is that you step out, you do what God is telling you to do, and then the peace will come later.
Mm-hmm.
The provision will come later. I love what Pastor Mark Hankins says. He says, faith comes first, feelings come later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the way it is. And I feel like a lot of people are just in the middle of the sea, just being tossed to and fro because they just won't just make a decision. And Jesse Duplantis says, what does he say? God, I make a choice and God backs me up. I made a decision and God backs me up. God just wants us to have a relationship, to trust him. Just go for it. Make a decision. Step out and God's going to back you up and the peace is going to come.
Yeah, and this applies to so many things in our walk with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It applies to everything. And I actually just explained this this past Wednesday to someone I met here at church for the first time. So this past Wednesday night, we had a really powerful water baptism service. And I actually do the class for everyone getting water baptized beforehand. About a 30-minute class just kind of explaining the importance of water baptism, what it means, why it's important for believers to be water baptized. But I also talked about being baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And there was a newer gentleman at church there. Him and his son were getting baptized. And they'd just been invited to the church recently. And right after the class, we kind of had a short window. We had to get to the main sanctuary. But this gentleman approached me and just said, hey, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want that indwelling. Mm. I want that
gift.
And I didn't have time to explain a whole lot to him, but I just said, you know what, we're gonna pray and believe that you receive it right now. I'm going to pray for you. And prayed for him. God just really touched him. I was praying in tongues. He started jumping in, praying in tongues. He's really being moved by God, and had some prophetic words to share with him. And he was kind of like, I could tell it was a very new thing to him. He's like, what's this, like praying in tongues? Like, yeah. What should I do with this? And I said, you should pray in tongues every day.
Yeah.
But I told him, I said, sometimes you're going to feel like it, and sometimes you're not going to feel like it. But that doesn't change the power of it.
Yeah.
And I said, that applies to even reading your Bible, going to church, giving. Like, sometimes the feelings are there, sometimes there's emotion there, and sometimes it's not there.
Yeah.
But it's your relationship with God is based upon faith.
Yeah.
Not just upon emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, when you pray in tongues, I told him you could pray, you know, pray in tongues, pray in English. You can alternate between the two. Like, I do this. Some of you might not know this, but it's good to pray both with your understanding, you know, pray in the language that you know, but then pray in the Spirit. That's what Paul talks about. So you can flow between the two.
Mm-hmm.
But I explained to him, when you pray in tongues, you're praying directly from your spirit to God's spirit. You don't understand it, which can be an awesome thing. Sometimes you don't know how to pray.
That's right.
As you ought. The scripture talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just share with him some scripture. I said, it builds you up.
Yes.
You know, Jude 20 says you build yourself up in your most holy faith by praying in tongues, and you keep yourself in the love of God.
Yeah.
It takes supernatural power to stay in the love of God.
Yeah.
And praying in tongues is one way you can do that. And I'm so glad we're sharing on this. I feel like a lot of churches don't even talk about what it actually means to be spirit-filled and actually pray in tongues, actually how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of places just, they know how to say things not to offend people and just try to attract a lot of people. They're great marketing experts.
Yeah.
Jesus was not a marketing expert.
Right.
Christianity is not about marketing.
Yeah.
Jesus said, you know, the message I preach is actually going to divide some people.
You know what I love? So this past weekend before Easter on Saturday, we did like an outreach little thing where we gathered like 14 people together, and we went out in our community and just asked people if we could pray for them, minister to them, whatever. But one of the guys that went with us, he said that he had been with another group one time and they didn't like that he always wore shirts or hats or whatever that said stuff about Jesus, because they felt like they should be like kind of incognito or whatever. And he said, Jesus never snuck up on anybody. And I love that, because he didn't. He said, before you even see me, before you even talk to me, you're going to know what I'm about, because of put stuff on about like John 3:16 or whatever. And I love that whenever he said Jesus never snuck up on anybody, it's like something just clicked in me. Jesus was not scared to tell people the truth. And ultimately, Jesus wasn't crucified because of the good things that he did. Sorry, I have like a hair. He was killed. He was crucified because he said, I and the Father are one. Like, we're one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm God.
Mm-hmm.
I am. Mm-hmm. Like, and, it just goes back to the truth. When you're talking about, you know, some churches are just really good at marketing.
Like, yeah. And marketing is all about targeting people's emotions.
Mm.
It's all about and trying to manipulate
that
people's
sells.
Emotions.
Yeah.
And so be wary of just the emotional. Peace is so much greater than
emotions. Yeah, it's a force.
And I know you
what?
Every big thing that you've done in life, myself included, went beyond your comfort zone.
Oh my gosh.
Went beyond your current emotional state.
Yes. I know when I was like writing the notes for this, That's what I was thinking. I'm like, literally nothing in my life, like the big decisions that I've made.
You didn't have all these warm, bubbly, butterfly feelings.
No,
about
even
it.
I was even thinking about like when my first husband died and I had to move here. I often tell people like it would have taken me more faith to stay in Tennessee than to move here because it was just, I mean, it was hell on earth for a while. But the things that I had to get over were worrying about what other people thought. Mm-hmm. Like, since I decided that I was going to follow God and move and go to Charis Bible College, people were telling my late husband's mom, oh, Heather doesn't even care. She doesn't care about your family. Look at her. She's happy. How could she be happy? And I wasn't happy. They just totally made stuff up mm-hmm. about me. But, like, I had to get over that. And so for me to pick Fisher up and move my whole life across the country, mm-hmm. there was no peace involved in that. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just obeying God.
Yeah.
And it was obedience. And this actually brings me to my next point.
Point number one,
did we not go over that already? Oh, yeah. God, where God guides, God provides. Thank you, Aaron. You're such a helper to me. When I was getting ready to move here, I was like, Lord, how am I going to do this? Like, I have Social Security, but like, I don't have a job when I get there. I don't have a house. I don't have all of that. And I was listening to Barry Bennett one day, just like one of his teachings. And he said something like, where God guides, God provides. Mm. Like when you step out and do what God tells you to do, there is going to be provision for you. Mm-hmm. He's not going to let you go without. And Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Mm-hmm. And Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Mm-hmm. So obedience actually positions you for provision. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to understand everything. You just have to be willing and obedient.
Mm-hmm. I like that you're talking about kind of obedience precedes the provision.
It does.
Some people are looking for the
provision first.
They're going toward provision is what's guiding them.
Yes.
And looking for that provision rather than what God's will is, mm-hmm. they're kind of getting outside of God's will.
Yeah, like stop trying to understand everything before you take the first step.
Yeah, I actually was studying out 1 Timothy 6 today. Just God was speaking to me about contentment, how godliness with God's contentment. And right before that, Paul's writing to Timothy and said there's a lot of people that are just disputing and uh-huh. wrangling and just suspicious, have evil suspicions mm-hmm. all the time. Stay away from those people. And he talks about how godliness with contentment is great gain. Mm-hmm. And how people who are kind of just striving and fighting all the time mm-hmm. and right after, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain, he says, you know, you came here to this earth with nothing. You're going to leave with nothing.
Yeah. So and what's the point?
Yeah, like know what the main thing is.
Yeah.
And it's not, and he talks about, you know, just desiring to be rich and desiring, and a lot of people desire to be rich, to be famous, to be an influencer, but they're not really desiring to obey.
Yeah.
And God will take care of you. You know, if you serve him and obey him and follow him, he'll take care of you. He'll mm-hmm. provide way beyond
yes.
what you thought possible. And his provision, it includes finances, but it goes way beyond that.
Way beyond that, yes.
And he'll take care of you emotionally, relationally, financially, spiritually, all across.
Yeah.
All across the board.
Yes. That's really good. We have a question. It says, how do you overcome the what if you're wrong thoughts? So here's the thing. If you're praying in the Spirit, if you are delighting yourself in the Lord, God says he will give you the desires of your heart. I personally think that you can't go wrong following God. Mm-hmm. And that's the devil. What if you're wrong? The devil's the one. You need to realize that you have a mind, but not every thought that you have is your mind. There's some thoughts that are from the enemy.
Well, and
he does
sometimes
that to try to get to help make you freeze.
Yeah, go and ahead, that's actually a really great question because something I've noticed with like, what if you're wrong? Mm-hmm. So God's thoughts lead to life and peace. I explained this to the youth before. The enemy's thoughts lead to death,
yes.
to inadequacy, lack. His thoughts
confusion.
Are always going to say you're worth less.
Yeah,
they're always going to be driving you downward. You're worth less.
Uh-huh.
You're dumb. You're ugly. You're like, that's his thoughts are leading you downward. God's thoughts are uplifting.
Yeah.
He's going to show you that you're worth more.
Yeah.
Like, I love you. I care about you. I have good plans for you. His thoughts are going to lead you to life and to peace.
Yeah.
And show you how valuable you are to him. Mm-hmm. The enemy's thoughts are going to go the opposite way. So you can distinguish what, you know, and also you have the word, you know, to really divide between what's true and what's not true, what's spirit and what isn't.
Yeah.
You have the word of God and you can know God's heart. But one thing that the enemy does when you have to make big decisions is make you think that you're going to make the wrong decision. So don't do anything at all.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are actually not doing anything but because they're scared of making a wrong decision. Mm-hmm. They might be, you know, scared of you know, stepping outside of their comfort zone with a relationship, with a job, with a move. They feel God's pushing, and the way he kind of he doesn't push you hard, he just points you in that direction. Mm-hmm. That's often the way that God leads you. It's a very gentle leading. He'll show you what his will is, but he's not going to force it. Mm-hmm. For the most part. So the enemy tries to make you worry that you're going to make the wrong decision, so I'm not going to do anything at all.
Yeah.
But really, you it's a lot easier for God to steer someone who's
moving
and yes. doing something, and he'll eventually get you where you need to go, yes. but do something. Mm-hmm. And the blessing will keep pointing you in the right direction, but do something. You might think, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do for work. Am I supposed to be in real estate or education or business? Just do something. Mm-hmm. And God will work it out. He'll send the right people, the right connections. You know, and if you're doing something as flipping burgers at McDonald's, just go do that. Do something.
Yeah, because the blessing is that whatever your hand touches is going to prosper.
And he'll make it happen. Yes. You know, I was actually talking to my mom about this, about my brothers and I. We actually drove by our old church. I came home for one summer when I was 23 years old, and I worked for $10 an hour, you know, digging ditches. And she said, you know, you and your brothers all worked hard, and you guys all did a lot of kind of menial, low-level type jobs starting out. Like, she reminded me of what my brothers did as well. Like, my brother Andrew, very high up in the oil and gas industry. His first job, you know, when he was 19 or 20, he worked for, I think, as the utility company here in Colorado Springs, but they ended up having him shovel coal. Yeah. He literally just shoveled coal all day, every day, 40 hours a week as his great internship that he had, and came home just covered in black every day. But, you know, now he's a multimillionaire. Like, it's incredible what God has done. And, like, the next year, he got a job, like, in Shreveport, Louisiana, like, not a great job. my brother Peter, similar type things. We just went to work.
Just go do something.
And worked hard and kept a good attitude. Yeah. And then God blessed that, but then opened up the right doors after that. Yeah. Some people are worried about, this is way beneath me.
Oh, you know,
and especially in ministry too. People think, man, ministry is serving. It's work. It's
I literally vacuum the youth room floor. Like, I've done it all. I have literally done it all.
Yeah.
And I don't care. I don't care to do it. It doesn't bother me one bit. Whatever needs done will be done. I will Lysol spray all the youth room chairs, because how many of you know teenagers are a little gross sometimes? Mm-hmm. I'll wipe off the counters. Like, whatever it is, I don't care, because number one, I know I'm doing it unto the Lord. Number two, I know that God's going to prosper me wherever I go. Mm-hmm. Number three, I'm just doing it because I love God. I don't care. I'll hang out with God, put my AirPods in, listen to some worship music, and do what I got to do. But to practically speaking, how do you overcome what if your wrong thoughts? You have to realize where those thoughts are coming from, number one. Number two, what were you thinking right before you got that thought? Mm-hmm. What if you're wrong? Mm-hmm. Because if you can think back to that and associate that with, was it a positive thought? Did you just get some direction to, like, start a ministry? Did you just get some direction to move to help a ministry? Did you just get some direction on, like, how to be a better husband, a better wife? What was it that you were thinking of when you got that thought? If it was a positive thought, and you can nail down that was definitely God, then the what if you're wrong thought, you know that that came from the enemy or your flesh. your unrenewed mind.
Yeah, and I love a comment that Caleb put on here. Caleb works here at the church full time.
It is work.
He said, I don't want to find out the cost of saying where I was. You know, he mentioned that he actually moved to Colorado Springs before he had the job lined out.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat when they moved here. So his wife, Joni, does all of our graphics, did it remotely for a long time. They lived in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Then Caleb had an opportunity to be a part owner of a HVAC company in northern Colorado in the Fort Collins area. So he did that for a couple of years. And they liked it because they were only 2 hours from here.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come on occasion from 2 hours away, connected remotely as well. But then they decided, you know, we need to move to Colorado Springs. And I remember that when they moved here, like he wasn't sure what he'd do for work. And he actually just approached at the time, the head of our media department to see if he could volunteer and help out. And then like a week later, but he was actually willing to serve and just help out where there was
a need.
Yeah. And started getting, I think, and just like a week later, something opened up.
Yeah.
And he's been a huge, huge, huge blessing.
And both him and Joni. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
really, really huge blessing to the church. And it was a complete God thing.
Yeah.
But there has to be that willingness and that obedience. And then.
Yeah. So God values, point number two, God values obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, so Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Mm-hmm. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. It is better to obey. Mm-hmm. God wants your obedience more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
I heard somebody, a teacher say, you don't have revelation of the word until you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because it takes a revelation to step out and obey to do. But what? Do you have something to say?
Yeah, and I've kind of noticed something too about people sometimes ministering or to other people. Sometimes they'll share things and you can tell they don't have it. It's not part of their life yet.
Oh, yeah. Like they're trying to teach something that hasn't really.
They haven't lived it out or walked it out.
Yeah.
And I try to be careful of that too with when I communicate the word to people. Like
I just don't. I don't. If I don't have it, like this is a revelation to me. If it's not a revelation to me, I don't want to teach it because mm-hmm. I'm going to make myself look like a fool and I don't like looking foolish.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So God does place a high value on obedience.
He does.
Yeah.
And a great example of this is Abraham. And Abraham left a land he knew for when he didn't. And I didn't put the chapter in this. Is it? Do you happen to know?
Not off the top of my head. I think Genesis 12.
Is it Genesis 12?
I think so.
Okay, well, Pastor Aaron's going to find the chapter, but the verse is 12. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country for your family.
Chapter 12.
Chapter 12, verse 12. Okay.
Verse 1.
Man, I really just messed up on these notes. That's all right.
She says 12. Huh. Abraham and then 12. There's no.
I know. Well, they can read the
but notes. But it's Genesis 12,
okay,
verse 1.
Okay, why don't you read it? You read it.
Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Yes. He obeyed even when it didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is another example of obedience comes first, peace comes later.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 22:11-12 says, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And this is the story of Abraham where God told him to sacrifice Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to make the choice to do something extremely hard. Could you imagine God saying, hey, I need you to lead Fisher up to the top of Pike's Peak and you're going to go sacrifice him? Like, I can't even imagine that. But Abraham said, okay, God, whatever. I'm going to sacrifice my promised son, my one son that you promised me. And what happened? He got up there he got ready to kill his son, and he looked over, and there was a ram caught. Mm-hmm. There was provision for him, and he didn't have to sacrifice. This is so mind-blowing, because so many times people think, I can't follow God. I can't obey to God, because then I'm going to have to give up that thing that I love. You know?
Well, even Abram, I think there's some things that people don't often understand in
Teach
regards
us.
To Isaac. Was that in this conversation with Isaac, he told Isaac beforehand that God will provide the sacrifice.
Yes.
And later on in the New Testament, speaking about Abraham, you know, the New Testament says that Abraham
said even
knew,
if he does
knew in his heart that even
if he does
like
God
would raise like
Isaac
he was so convinced of this promise.
Yes.
Of his descendants, and like he was so committed that God, he knew that God would raise him up. Like
yes.
he was so convinced of that promise. But he even told Isaac that God would provide that sacrifice. God did provide,
yeah,
you know, that ram. And, you know, Abraham built an altar there called Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Mm-hmm. And that's actually the first redemptive name of God. So Abraham really knew God as a redeemer.
Yes.
Even, you know, through this time of testing.
Yeah.
This time of, are you going to be obedient? And really, every single person who's done great things for God goes through a time of testing, a time of, did you obey?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's not testing through sickness, though.
No.
I feel like you should say that. Like, it's not a time of testing where God is going to take away all your possessions and you're going to be sick and you're going to be like Job. Like,
but it's a testing of who is Lord. Are you Lord
who
or
is
God
Lord? That's right.
And people need to get that through their heads. Like,
uh-huh.
God is Lord, and your way might not always be
match up. Mm-hmm.
And there is a time of testing.
Yeah.
And it's often several years.
Yeah. I still feel like
something
I'm
my dad mentioned too. I haven't heard this spoken very often, but he said in ministry, maybe something he learned from Andrew Womack, I think, but my dad says this, and it's very true, and it's not advertised through Bible colleges and churches, and
well, it doesn't
because
feel good.
it's not like a great marketing scheme.
Yeah,
because it doesn't appeal to the emotions. But if you want to be in full time ministry, there will be like a 10-year period where you're kind of tested.
Yeah,
and so either you're probably going to serve under someone for a period of 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to serve out in the wilderness for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And develop your
pioneering.
Character.
Yeah, develop a period of development.
Uh-huh.
Or testing. Mm-hmm. Or
whatever.
Yeah, are you going to be obedient? Are you going to be discontent? Are you going to be, how's your attitude going to be? Are you going to be a person who's faithful? Are you going to be a person who works? Are you going to, you know, there is.
I think he does that. I think God does that, though, to protect his people. Because if you don't get certain things in your character in check before you get to a certain point, that can destroy you. You know, when you said contentment, that's what I'm thinking about. Is like, I feel like anytime you go to another level, you experience that testing. Yeah, Chrissy, yeah, we have talked about that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And like with contentment, like it's really good to get your contentment in check before you move on to another level. Otherwise, you're just going to be that ruined. And that's the reason why, like, we see so many people that get older in life and they have been very successful in their work or whatever, but they're completely miserable, or they retire and die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see that a lot. People retire, they don't have any purpose, whatever, and then they pass away. Mm-hmm. Or, like, famous people, they have like all the money, all the things, and they commit suicide, you know? And I've even seen like stories of people that win an Olympic gold medal. And then after that, they just like their life completely falls apart because they hit this high and they don't have anything left, you know, when that's over.
Mm-hmm.
So character development is true. A great contrast to Abraham, and I know you guys already know it, is Lot. Lot chose what looked good in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
He pitched his tent towards Sodom. He already decided that he's going to go hang out in Sodom and Gomorrah, and that whole place. We know what happened.
Yeah, and that's very similar to a lot of people, how they make decisions today. They look very, very narrow-sighted.
When finding a church. Looking for a church,
Or looking for a spouse.
Or a spouse, yeah.
Or a job. Very narrow-sighted, very short-sighted.
When it comes to looking for a job, they want to take, like, what is going to give them the best insurance? What's going to pay the most? What's going to... and we always talk about how we feel like we have hit the job like jackpot because we have such a good quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Like, I was talking really to someone yesterday. Yesterday we had just really powerful Easter services at church. I was talking to this gentleman, his daughter, young woman who serves on the worship team here. She's in college, very motivated, doing a lot of things. And I think he's trying to steer in the right direction, but I can tell like he really values that she volunteers and contributes here at church.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him about both my brothers, about my youngest brother, Peter, and like his first job out of college. He went to Princeton, but his first job out of college, a lot of his friends, he was a finance major, so a lot of them were looking for Wall Street jobs. Mm. But he noticed that that there are these three Brazilian billionaires buying up some big American companies, but he knows that they had quite a few young CEOs and, they use young people. So he ended up going there, even though he was paid probably half of what his friends were getting paid, going to New York City to Wall Street. So he took, and coming out of Princeton, finance degree, I think he started at like $50,000 a year, which is not a whole lot, and to live in Miami, a very expensive city. One of the most expensive cities in the U.S. Like, he had to have a roommate. He couldn't live on his own.
To just graduate from an Ivy League school.
Yeah. Like. And I think they hired, like, 40 people for their corporate management training. And part of that management was flipping burgers, working in their,
Burger King.
Yeah, some sketchy locations. And even work. He had to work the night shift for a couple of weeks. Yeah. Like, work, like, midnight to.
But he knew if he took that, he could move up the ladder quick. Right?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, even who took that starter job, didn't really make it because they got a bad attitude about this menial work we have to do. But they're trying to teach them the entire everything about the business.
Because how can you lead? Chrissy, we talk about this all the time. Like, how can you lead if you don't even know how to lead the people to do the jobs that they're supposed to be doing?
And he had about, he had about a 10-year period of trials and being out in the wilderness. He had to move to Canada, move to California, moved to Singapore.
Singapore during the lockdown.
But after about 10 years is when major promotions started happening with him. And now he's actually the CEO, the president of Popeye's Chicken. Mm-hmm. And this father was just telling me he just sees, this blessing on people at our church and like, Pastor Lawson and his family, but it is very scriptural what you do and how in the marketplace and in family.
Yeah, to just be led by God and not by just what looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
big time.
Yeah,
and Lot, is a great negative example of, hey, I'm just gonna go what looks.
His family and all his possessions were destroyed.
Yeah, and I saw a great quote. Just recently about relationships, how a lot of people are making major relationship decisions, marriage decisions based upon pleasure, but you need to make those decisions based upon purpose, not just pleasure. Like, hey, we have a good time together. We enjoy going to the movies together. We have all the same hobbies. We like the same restaurants. We like, it's about pleasure, but really should be thinking about purpose.
Yeah.
And that's so good.
Yeah. Well, and we got 20 minutes left or so?
5 minutes.
Oh, we only have 5 minutes left? Well, I guess I'm not going to get into my personal story. But so point three, which is pretty much, this is a good ending place. Peace can and often does come after you make the decision. James 1:6 says, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." Faith doesn't always feel peaceful at first. Sometimes peace follows obedience and not the other way around.
This kind of goes back to that Jesse Duplantis quote.
Yeah.
In the realm of faith, I made a decision and God backed it up. Sometimes it's not about, like A, B, C, or D, but just choose something. And when you're called by God and are being led by God, even if it wasn't maybe the best initial choice, he'll work it out.
Yeah.
He'll get you where you need to go. Just keep a good attitude. Keep working hard. Keep trusting him. He'll get you where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get stuck in like A or B forever. Some people never do anything because they just can't make a decision.
Yeah, make a decision for sure. Just go for it.
Go
you don't
for
even,
it.
Even when we started this podcast, we didn't know. We'd never done a podcast before. We still don't really exactly know everything that we're doing. I mean, we're still buying new equipment and doing some things. But God continually like leads us and guides us and teaches us. Mm-hmm. And that's part of just having a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
So I like that you talked about, you know, looking for a sign. So when people are just looking for a sign.
Looking for a sign.
Looking for a goosebump, looking for a, you know, a.
Looking for
the clouds.
They're looking for peace and to feel good before they just jump into that decision.
They're looking for the emotions.
Yeah.
Or maybe validation from other people.
I want to tell this one story and then we can end. We'll pray for people. But when I moved here to go to Caris Bible College, some of you know this, some of you don't. Some of you are going to watch this later, so that's fine too. But my husband died. I never, ever wanted to get married again, ever. And I met Pastor Aaron, long story short. I met Pastor Aaron, and we didn't have nothing in common. I was wild. I had been wild. You were a good guy. Never really done anything wrong in your whole entire life. And like you like classical music. I liked country and like rap music, which is crazy anyway. But what I'm trying to say is like, we didn't really have a lot in common, but the one thing that mattered that we did have in common was that we both loved God.
Mm-hmm.
And that
is its purpose.
We both loved God. We were both just content with him, mm-hmm. just with him telling us to do whatever we would do it, you mm-hmm. know? And I was sitting in Caris Bible College, and I felt like, I think you had taken me out on a date, and I had a good time, but then we dated for like a week, and then I broke up with you, and I was like, I don't want to do this, you know. It hadn't even, I think it had barely been a year since my husband passed away. I had a four-year-old. I'm still trying to walk out like the whole grief process, which that's a whole nother topic. I felt like, oh, it's too early to even date, and you know, what are all these people going to think about me? But, you know, I was sitting in class and I just said, God, if you want me to date, if you want me to get married to Aaron, I'll do whatever you want me to do because I'm tired of doing my life my own way. And I just want to finally obey you. And I didn't have any feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, okay, God, I'll do it. I'll date Aaron. And so I made that decision. I had a scripture that he had given me. I wrote it in my Bible. I said, okay, today I'm going to just make this decision. And the next day when I woke up, I just saw you in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just loved you. Like, mm-hmm. God just put a love in my heart for you. And if I hadn't have obeyed first, the feelings wouldn't have come.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, what a blessing I would have missed out on. And that's a lot of you guys. You just need to decide to make the decision to obey whatever it is that God is telling you to do. Just do it. And the feelings will come. And you're not going to miss out. When God tells you to do something, he's not doing it to make you miserable for the rest of your life. It's because he's trying to get a blessing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Okay.
Amen. Let's pray.
Let's pray.
Well, God, I just thank you for everyone right now, everyone in the future watching this episode. I just thank you, Lord, that
yes,
you are helping them.
You're
leading them with your gentle, just beautiful spirit. And I just thank you that we are your sheep and we can hear the shepherd's voice. So I just think that people can be led by the Lord. And I just thank you that they don't have to be afraid of making the wrong decisions, but they don't have to just be looking for these signs,
mm-hmm.
these maybe just being led by their emotions, but they can actually be led by the word of God, be led by your voice, Lord. And I just thank you that you're going to lead them and guide them and get them where they need to go. I just think that they are called
yes.
with a purpose and that you are working things together for good in their life. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, awesome. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope to see you again very soon.